This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Paganampake Pagan alongside Ian McNally. Now, these Purge movies have become something of a staple in cinemas. They are these high-concept, low-budget films from Blumhouse that have made something of a statement. They're incredibly popular. And what began as something as a bit of a throwaway has tried to evolve to speak to the political zeitgeist in some way.
They
right?
really tied in with the election year one.
The fourth one is now in cinemas, only it's a prequel called The First Purge. It's directed by Gerard McMurray. It's written by James DiMonaco, who actually wrote and directed the first three Purge movies. That's The Purge, The Purge Anarchy, and The Purge Election Year. This one is made for one of those typically Blumhouse budgets of $13 million.
No, that's more than I thought.
It's already made a tremendous profit in the US. I think it's raked in like $100 million already. And so, yeah, like I said, incredibly popular films. It stars a cast of unknowns, actually, with the exception maybe of Marissa Tomei. It's got Yelan Noel and Lex Scott Davis in the lead. And this one kind of tries to tell you, or attempts to tell you, the history of the Purge. Mm. It's a very small-scale experiment that's set in Staten Island after a new political force called the New Founding Fathers of America have taken over the Democrats and the Republicans.
It's about as subtle as a baseball bat to the face.
There is absolutely nothing subtle about this movie. This movie has completely lost its taste for subtext.
Yeah, yeah.
It's insane. It's so in your face. It's so on the nose. And the movie is filled with imagery like that, right? I mean, you've got the Charlottesville protests, you've got the church massacre. I mean, it lifts directly from the
Oh, all the bad
headlines.
Guys are white guys in shirts.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have to say that this first Purge was my first Purge. I lost my virginity to this movie. Because I don't know, just wasn't, were we not covering them before, or I just...
I think we didn't. I think we skipped out on
week.
Election year for some reason.
For some reason, and I just haven't had a chance to catch up with the other ones, and I quite enjoyed this.
Yeah, so
like,
did I.
It's, you kind of know going in what you're getting. It's a Purge movie. You know you're not going to be blown away, but I was with it like going along because I don't know who any of these characters are. They're sketched in quite brilliantly. Like, you get to know who everyone is quite quickly, and you've no idea what's going on with anybody. Like, you've no expectations of what's going to happen with anybody. And, like, I don't know if any of these characters turn up in later Purges. I severely doubt it.
They don't.
Yeah. But it just develops nicely, and then it turns into a kind of a kick-ass action movie at the end that actually turns into a better Die Hard homage than Skyscraper was.
Because the last bit of the movie actually takes place in an abandoned building.
Yeah, and the main character who you're with by that point is wearing a white vest and just killing guys in the tower.
It's really funny, though, because the movie kind of pushes this message that to fight the system, you need to take to the streets with guns.
Yeah.
And it's a really strange message given contemporary America.
Yeah, because the whole plot of this is that it's in the trailer that, you know, the purge isn't working. The initial purge is that, like, everyone's going to go out and just murder and do everything. And it's a release that society needs. But then it doesn't, you know, the idea was like it would build up slowly or something like that and then trail off. But now it's not building up at all. And the government sends in some goons to kind of amp things up.
Kick things off.
And because it's always been about the poor.
Yes, so the movie kind of is set on Staten Island where the poorest of society lives. They kind of exploit that by offering them money
to stay and participate
in this science experiment.
Yeah.
And of course, it is very on the nose about African Americans and their plight. And, you know, if you stay and if you participate, then you get more money than just staying and
if
doing
nothing.
If you
go and murder some people, you get more money.
Exactly.
Which is insane. But,
which is crazy.
But
I love that Van Jones is in it.
Who's Van Jones?
Van Jones is the African-American CNN journalist.
Oh.
And he actually just plays a random journalist for another network. I just love that they've cast him in this role. And he's got like 5 minutes in it. But he was the one on the night of the Trump election. He had this brilliant monologue on CNN as to the state of America, right? Mm. And I was watching it and I'm like, it's really weird that you're in this film.
And now he's purge ready.
He's purge ready. But what's interesting about this movie in particular and how it shifts from the previous movies is all three of the previous movies kind of went along this line of, oh, well, if people enjoy it, okay, it's kind of right.
The purge itself or the
movie? The purge itself, yeah. Right? Not necessarily the movie.
And it's usually some people stuck, like, not prepared for the purge or caught out from the
exactly,
purge. Right?
That's exactly. Generally, yeah. That's generally the theme.
It was like someone using the purge as a cover to attack a government candidate, right?
That was election year, right?
The first one was just like they let someone, the kids let someone into the safety house.
That was like
house.
A locked room mystery yeah. kind of thing.
What was the second one?
The second one, Anarchy, I can't remember what happened in the second one.
People got purged.
They all got purged. Yeah. But this movie kind of forces the viewer to consider the implications of a government or a political system that is totally biased against its citizens.
Yeah.
And given the Trumpian notion of how coyness seems very passé, it feels like a really fitting movie for that time.
Yeah. I mean, this movie, the politicians hate the poor and they're like, they talk about, we inherited this mess. We can't afford this mess. So we're just going to kill off all the poor if we can. We need it. This country needs it. Like, I mean, and like, that's brazen in the movie. And they've built a world that makes that make sense. And unfortunately, that world doesn't feel too far away right now.
It doesn't, right? Also, I particularly enjoy these movies just because of what they do with their budget and their set pieces.
Mm.
I think they play really, really well with whatever little cash they have.
There's a scene with a smoke bomb and some knives. Like, there's some gunfire and then there's just like machetes come out.
Yeah.
And these guys are crimin ninjas. Like, it comes out, you expect like they're drug lords, they're gang lords, whatever. It's going to be like, you know, mostly just, you know, shooting handguns sideways, you know, that kind of stuff. Oh no, there's like, these guys have got machetes out and are like coming in and out of the mist like predators. It's insane.
But also the depiction of the gang lords is quite an interesting one because in the face of a political system that is so corrupt and anti-citizen, it is these actual criminals that turn out to be the good guys.
And
right?
they want nothing to do with the purge to start with. They're like, we're gonna in lockdown.
I mean, Dimitri, who is the main crime boss, kind of says at the beginning of the film, I don't know it, so I don't trust it. I don't know what's going on. I know my business. I know what it takes to make money. So I'm staying out of what's going on, right? Yeah. And so they become these noble warriors, if you will, against a system that is so oppressive. It is weird.
Yeah.
But incredibly well put.
But and when they load up with all their guns and he cocks that gun on his arm and he kind of misses it because they only had one take or something, it still looks kind of cool. There's one point he does something with the knife. I think it is, like, he does a pose. Like, he actually does, it's almost like a superhero landing pose with the knife. There's a lot of that. And I think there's something as well that's interesting is, like, with the money thing, the soundtrack is like really, really good. Have you noticed that? There's like a really good hip-hop soundtrack that's running most of the way through the movie, and it only really hit me when there's a moment of emotional release near the end where the score kicked in, and it was awful. The score was really cheesy and was like, you know, signposting, this is an emotional moment.
Yes.
Whereas all the rest of it is like urban street music, and just, I felt really helped build that tone.
The movie really pulled off what it was trying to do, and I thought it was very tightly scripted. I thought it was very well acted, but also one thing Blumhouse does well is when putting a movie like this together, it knows that it has to focus on a small group of characters, right? Yeah. Because if you focus on a large group of characters, your budget goes crazy.
Well, this is always a thing. Necessity is a mother.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing. It's like, if you only have this much money, one, you can only afford to pay so many actors, but also you have to make sure that we have to fill so many minutes, so we need to make sure we have stuff that works for everybody that we have.
But not everyone can pull that off well. And I don't know what Gerard McMurray has done before.
Mm.
That being said, every character relationship between Naya and Isaiah, the brother-sister combo, Naya and Dimitri, the ex-lovers, and even Dimitri and Isaiah, who don't necessarily encounter each other until the very end. But when that encounter happens, there is almost a brotherly, fatherly thing going on immediately, which was a weird thing. Coming from the show, because I was just like, wait, I did not expect that.
Yeah.
And because he sees him at a moment, and it's a moment of great violence, and he just goes, we're going to have to talk after this.
But there's a lot of moments like that where it's like, they don't do the stupid thing. I think like Dimitri, when he first like gets attacked by the cops or whatever, and he takes one of their guns. He kills one, takes one of their guns, and it's three shots. Because like, guy's a sharpshooter. It's like they're violently spraying at a car, but he's like, three shots, they're down, instantly calls his guys for, I need help. It's not like I'm going to lope through the streets for 15 minutes in a kind of protracted attempt to build tension.
Yes.
And that kind of goes through it throughout. At the very beginning, when Isaiah is going to work or school or whatever, he's all dressed in, like, he's putting his tie on and stuff like that as Naya goes out the house. And the very next scene, he's just like in hood gear selling drugs on the street. And I thought that was just a nice, they didn't have to have that. But that's a little touch that they just have in the background. And another thing, just the cleverness of shooting. They always have done this great things with the masks and the look of the purgers. And, like, I'm sure they saved so much money by just getting, like, their mates to put on military gear.
Yeah.
And they just got a strobe light, some smoke bombs, and shot from low angles in slow-mo. And that fills about 10 minutes of the movie, but spread out and builds up a nice bit of tension. And you don't see any blood. You hear screams and you hear gunfire. And I think most of the gunfire is like blanks or whatever. There's a few points where it falls to CGI blood and they don't work as well.
No, they don't work as well. I think towards the end you see a little bit of fake blood and that doesn't necessarily work too well.
Just like somebody walking down a corridor lit crazily and like cutting between different all Dutch angles sells these guys as a threat any more than just like seeing someone getting shot in the face.
One really great visual cue are the contact lenses.
Yes.
So what they do is the people who organize the purge say, okay, we want to see what you're doing.
It's an experiment.
So you have to put on these contact lenses that record and broadcast everything you do.
And they glow.
And they put them in their eyes and they glow. And of course, everything is set in the dark. These individuals look immediately threatening and villainous.
Yeah, because they glow in the dark.
Because they glow in the dark. And I thought that was a really good visual cue.
And there's a brilliant moment where you're thinking, well, is that just a, you know, is that a kind of a device to let you know that this person is fully engaged in the purge? Like, if you see a load of eyes like that, you know there's something up. Until you realize that, no, they actually glow, and one of the characters closes his eyes so he can't be seen.
Correct.
Like, there's a level of thought that went into that that I don't think that I was expecting from The Purge, but I think that it's interesting the way the series can go into being this kind of anthology series that can express multiple messages. And the message of this one is very interesting, and I was just like, I was really enjoying it.
Important to note that you don't actually have to watch any of the previous Purge movies to enjoy this one. Ian has not. But no, it's definitely worth a watch. And you know what? I wouldn't mind another one.
Yeah. And it's not like overly nasty and a kind of like, it's not like too scary. It's not too bloody. It's not like, not that these are bad things, but just like if you're thinking it's going to be a horrifying nightmare, maybe more on a kind of philosophical level, but not quite like, it's not going to be like, you know, people getting shot in the face in front of you. Though that does happen to one person. And again, it makes perfect sense that when someone gets betrayed, shall we say, and instead of, he doesn't monologue.
No, he just
does
what he needs to do.
He is a very quick thing and does what he needs to do.
Exactly.
And that efficiency is like, yeah, of course, he's a smart guy. That's how he gets to be top. And that level was deployed throughout, and
yeah.
It's great.
The First Purge is now in cinemas. Go check it out. Let us know what you think. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.